Hello and good day, everyone. It's Kevin Finkel here with another episode of Magic the First Pioneers podcast. You guys are listening because you're fans of the Magic Pioneer format, and we keep our listeners up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. And occasionally we go off topic. So I'm here with going to my co-host as well as a special guest.
So I'm Ryan Schwenk. I'm the Japan hobbyist out of the Tokyo area of Japan, right by Yokohama.
And I'm Thomas Fletcher, a judge and Magic player from Florida.
Florida.
Yeah, and I know you guys, you've been on our show once before. We used to have you back in the day when we were not a Pioneer podcast, but we're glad to have you here, especially for the upcoming topic, because something that not always my most expert thing on is, so I try and say we only talk about what's new in Pioneer, but we sometimes delve into historic, mostly because we're trying to context it in the world where Pioneer and Historic are going to get closer and closer together. You know, we're hoping Pioneer will be on Arena in a decently real format sometime soon. You know, this might be a little preview of that, because we're going to talk about the brand new set dropping on Arena as of, I believe, the day we're recording this, 8/13, and it is the Amonkhet Remastered. So the two Amonkhet sets they're putting onto Arena, plus and minus some cards. So what we really want to talk about today, if you guys don't mind me saying, is like, we want to talk about what this means for Historic a little bit. We want to talk about what this means for Pioneer on Arena in the future. We want to talk about, you know, kind of just what's missing, and if that has anything to do, you know, if Pioneer ends up on Arena one day, what'll be the problem if we're missing something? And, you know, kind of just our opinion, like if this is how they're going to handle the remasters as they move the rest of Pioneer on there, what's that going to be like? So that's kind of the show, and I'm not a big Historic person, so I'm going to hand it off and be real quiet.
I wanted to ask you guys real quick, because, you know, I kind of gave you this homework to kind of look through and kind of see what's available now. What percentage of cards on Arena now could you say, I mean, like, what percentage would be in Pioneer? Like, how many Pioneer cards do we have right now? Are we at 50%? Are we at 80%? How close is this to being, or are we able to being, being able to make Pioneer decks?
So I think I counted up that Pioneer has 5 years worth of sets, and this has 2 or 3. Hold on, I gotta recount.
Now, that doesn't always mean this has two and a half. Because plus of the power creep bonus recently, we might actually have more cards, more decks available. So I'm just asking, like, in general, when you're looking at, okay, this deck might be playable, this deck might be playable, like, what percentage do you think we could say is safe?
I still think we're missing a pretty decent chunk. I bet we have 40 to 50%.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a few big holes, and those stop other things from being played. Like, you take out Satyr Wayfinder, and that kills 4 or 5 decks. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's one card missing, but I think that, as far as archetypes, losing something really changes the entire format, so it can be hard to give a one-to-one comparison.
Okay.
So I'm going to say, like, 30%.
Maybe. I think losing Return to Ravnica and Khans and Shadows and Kaladesh, that are kind of the more powerful ones through there, really hurt.
But I can definitely see the shadows of Pioneer now. It's like, ooh, this deck is almost there.
It's definitely getting there on some of the decks, especially just with the way power has been in the past year or so.
Mm-hmm. Another thing real quick I wanted to talk about before we started. We had a Pioneer showcase, I think, last week.
Yeah, that was really good. I was in Doom Mike's stream for the tail last couple rounds of that, and he ended up winning it.
Did you see the list, Kevin?
With
And I had also seen Doom Mike streaming that previously.
So, do you want to talk about it real quick? What was the winner, Thomas?
The winner was Mono Green Stompy, and the username is Doom Mike.
It's more of a, it's the mono green planeswalkers, really. It's not as much of a stomp.
Yeah, it's the planeswalker deck. It has 2 of 4 planeswalkers that both give you a gigantic wishboard of whatever you want. Clearly the most important card is Sky Sovereign Console Flagship, because you can yell boat on stream. and it just did really well. Had lots of X spells. The really explosive turns were all because of Nykthos or the War of the Spark Nissa. Those were just...
Would you say this deck is crazy broken? Turns. Or is this a, you know, just kind of like a fair competitive deck?
I think it's fine right now. It looks like from just the weekend, the really big decks coming out of this ended up being Nivtalite, Mono Green Stompy, Spirits, and then there were some. The rest were mostly kind of one and two ofs. Those were the top three.
So I think Kevin and I actually had some guests on recently, and we were talking about what we thought the metagame was going to look like, and this looks pretty close to what we had kind of guessed, right, Kevin?
Yeah, I mean, Nivtalite, Green Devotion were kind of the two biggest mid-rangey decks that we said didn't lose much. I'm surprised Green Devotion hasn't lost more from losing Walking Ballista. I feel like that really does miss that, but the rest of the power level makes up for it.
I think... well, one, Mono Black aggro seems to not be as good in this meta. Some other things that kind of happened. Winota is definitely there.
Yep.
I'm scared when that deck gets good top lands. Five, top six. When that deck gets good lands, it's going to disappear. that deck is just really absurd at times.
I was surprised to see a SRAM deck show up, I think, like, in the top 16, I think.
Yeah, and still having Luros.
Yeah.
Just black-white auras.
Are you guys happy with this metagame? Do you think, I mean, now that we've gotten rid of, like, all the combo decks, is this better for you? Do you feel...
I'm happy and sad about certain things. I think the format's still going to keep leaning into whoever can do the biggest thing, and you see that with Nivtalite, because that was the most ready thing to do. But I wouldn't be surprised if Wilderness Reclamation, Fires, and just Delirium and all these other decks that are also doing really big things don't just show up and take over the format and push every aggro deck out, because just there's just so many board wipes in the format that it's really easy to start chaining board wipes and other stuff and shut aggro out of the format.
23rd place, guys, really interesting. It was a Day's Undoing Notion Thief deck.
Yeah, so
with Narset
black white control. Not black-white, blue-black control.
Yeah.
He replaced the inverter combo with Day's Undoing with Notion Thief or Narset to wipe the opponent's hand out.
That's hilarious.
So they have a new combo in blue-black now.
Yeah, we've seen that floating around just a little bit. I feel like it's been there. People have tried it, but it's the first real success I've seen.
I didn't realize Notion Thief was in the format, to be honest.
I've heard that before, too. Yeah.
I didn't realize until this weekend that it was in the format. I thought that card was much older, because, I don't know, it really only saw play in Legacy.
It looks so janky.
I think as far as the bans are concerned... I don't know. I'm really only upset about Ballista, because I think Ballista cut a lot of decks out of the format, and what it got banned for wasn't powerful enough in the first place. I think banning Inverter over Oracle is going to bite them. And I wouldn't even be surprised within a year it bites them. I honestly thought that deck would have been fine if you just theoretically replaced Laboratory Maniac in the Oracle slot. Underworld's Breach and Kethys. Like, I'm not sure if they were putting out the numbers to go, but they're kind of decks that are maybe just detrimental to the format and shouldn't be there. Mm. Kethys was also kind of making their Oath of Nissa unban look silly.
I was going to say...
All right, I am going to jump in here and say, you know, this is kind of the topic we did last week as we talked about our unbans. Glad to get your initial opinion, but I do want to kind of steer it back to the Avant Garde Remastered part of the conversation here.
So yeah, let's jump back into that then. So Amonkhet Remastered is already dropped on Arena. You know, we've been talking about how each of these sets, you know, going forward is going to, you know, bring us closer and closer to Pioneer. So what I wanted to start off with today, you know, I wanted to ask both of you guys is, from this Amonkhet Remastered set, what are you most excited for in Historic and why? So, like, I don't know, maybe we can do like a top five or a top 10. Or we can just each read our own list. What do you think?
I have it broken up by categories so we can try to get through a lot, but kind of touch on more, but not touch on it very long. So yeah, that we're not stuck on any individual card. We can just talk about how...
Yeah. Like, instead of going back and forth like we usually do, how about we just start off with one person, you know, they can choose 10 cards they want to talk about, and just talk about that for a little bit.
So, all right, I'm going to just jump in here and say you got about... We're going to cut you off in an hour, so you got about 50 minutes left. Let's not be crazy.
You
have 3 minutes to talk about whatever you want. Let's do that.
All right, go ahead.
I'll go first. I'll set an example.
Yes, go.
All right, so my choices, cards I'm most excited for in Historic are Approach of the Second Sun, Gideon of the Trials, Champion of Wits, Lord of the Accursed, Hazoret the Fervent, Glory Bringer, Ronus the Indomitable, Driven to Despair or Cut to Ribbons, that's kind of a shared, put those together, the Scarab God, and God Pharaoh's Gift. So the reason for Approach to the Second Sun, I think this is going to help control decks have a better win condition, especially against all of these mid-range decks that are out there that are great, you know, getting all this value, and, like, you know, they can actually outgrind control eventually. I like getting into the Trials just because, you know, if any other combo kind of shows up, you still have a way to stop them from winning. But also it's good, like, in a Super Friends deck or even like a Mono White kind of aggro deck. I like it. Champion of the Wits, I always thought was a good value card. You're putting more cards into the graveyard. So if you have any kind of Dredge or Reanimator thing, Reanimator strategy, I think it's good. Lord of the Accursed, I think Zombies could be a fun kind of... a cheap deck that people play, kind of like they have the mono blue tempo deck right now. You know, we could have this, like, this will be like our mono black, because I don't know if we have the cards for mono black yet in Historic. Hazoret, great in, of course, chunky red, but also in red aggro. Glorybringer is going to be great in any kind of red mid-range deck, but of course, chunky red as well. Ronus the Indomitable, I think, is going to be really good in like the stompy decks, the green stompy decks. Driven to Despair is a really cool card for any kind of stompy deck that wants to kind of push damage through quickly. I think it could also show up in any kind of a Stitcher Supplier deck as well. So like some kind of green black thing. It's just like a, you know, all in. It's kind of like a win condition. You know, you flash it back and then, you know, they can't be blocked and they have to discard and stuff like that. And then, of course, Scarab God, I think we're going to start seeing more blue-black control. And then the last card, God Pharaoh's Gift, I also think that, you know, we have, like, Sacrifice, Jund Sacrifice, or Aristocrats doing really well right now in Historic. And I think that, you know, just sliding in a couple cards, like the Pharaoh, the Gate to the Afterlife, would be a very easy way to... you know, with Stitcher Supplier and stuff like that, to kind of get that back right away. Okay, I'm done.
I'm going to talk about those individually, but that was a good rundown of various archetypes that are probably going to be covered.
So those are the cards I'm excited about.
I might jump in with just a few that I was like, oh man, about, like, I'm not the big Historic player, but, you know, Collective Company I looked at and I was really excited about. I feel like one of the big ones, Hour of Promise, I feel like needs to be talked about, yep, because I know Field of the Dead is legal.
If we want to talk about Field of the Dead so real quick, yeah. I think that's the deck that a lot of people are most scared of coming in from this. Mm-hmm. Hour of Promise is really the only ramp card that's in there, but it's a very good one because it also makes more zombies. So if you grab Field of the Dead and have enough deserts to turn it on, you might make 4 zombies out of that card. The other thing is just Amonkhet was kind of a sneaky, really good utility land set. And the deck in Pioneer, was kind of starting to be similar to lands in Legacy and Amonkhet had a huge part of turning that on between Ithnir Deadlands for more removal, Scavenger Grounds, Ipnu Rivulet. Ipnu Rivulet's kind of interesting because you can mill yourself with it for digging towards Approach of the Second Sun. But what I have a feeling is going to happen with Ipnu Rivulet is that if you sack it and it mills four cards, it perfectly fuels a Uro escape, which is scary in itself. Just now you get to escape Uro if you sack out Ipnu Rivulet and target yourself. Mm-hmm. Some of the other lands, Cascading Cataracts, if they have that as a one of in there, they can now activate Golos's ability, because that's the five and tap, and you make a mana of each color land. Just field is looking like it's going to get a ton of tools to interact, as well as Hour of Promise, which searches for any land. And
so you're saying it's going to get banned?
I think field is looking very unsafe at the moment.
Yeah. Get your wins in as soon as possible.
Just looking at some of the other lands, though, really that entire cycle of the monocolored paint deserts are all very good. Like, the mono green, or the green one and the white one are good and like Stompy and Weenie, and then the red one is good in
was banded
red
standard
decks. I think that I honestly think Ramen Up Ruins will be fine this time around. It really didn't come into problem in standard until rotation, because lots of cards left the format and red didn't have anything that left.
Yeah, so a lot of things rotated out that were answers to it.
Yep. It didn't get banned until Ixalan or Rivals, one of the two. Really looking at Mono Red, they have Soulscar Mage, Earthshaker, yep, Kenra, Onkrop Crasher, Glorybringer, Hazoret, Ramunap Ruins, the Shock Desert that comes in, I forget the name of that one. Other ones in there, they have Combat Celebrant, which is the Exert, and then you get another combat guy for two and
a
red.
Combo, right? Wasn't that a combo at one point?
It was. If you have
like blue, black, blue,
two
red
of them down with God Pharaoh's Gift, I think you can go infinite. Could be wrong.
It's pretty.
No, because they exile themselves, but I feel like four attack steps is probably.
Yeah, it's definitely plenty. And then there's also Firebrand Archer, which is kind of a way like Thermo Alchemist to fuel Chandra's Incinerator.
Yeah, I don't know if I like that as much as having the Alchemist, because Alchemist can just end up doing 4 or 5 damage in a turn. Whereas, you know, and you can keep on tapping it and using it as a blocker, and that one you can't really use as a blocker because it's a 2-1, and it's only when you cast a spell, right, that it deals damage.
Yep. So Thermo Alchemist is going to get to do one more damage, essentially, than it. But this doesn't have some sick issues, and is good attacking.
So what about cycling? Is that a deck in Historic?
Yeah, I think it could be.
Because we've got cycling as a theme in pretty much all the colors here.
Because New Perspectives was a deck before, right? New Perspectives combo.
Not New Perspectives. We're not talking about the silly New
Perspectives
deck.
Before we get
deck
into cycling, I just want to finish up red real quick, because there's enough wizards here that Wizards Lightning and stuff, specifically with Soulscar Mage, will get good. The Chonky Red and the Red-Green deck, Glorybringer, will be very good in that, as well as Onkrop Crasher making no blockers. And Ronus and the Green-Red deck.
Yeah.
Hazoret, I don't actually know how much play Hazoret is going to see. Hazoret was like really good in that standard and has done nothing else. I'm kind of going to cover the
card regardless.
I'm trying to cover the cards that weren't in the block at the end, by the way, so I'll get to those later. on cycling. It's the second cycling block besides Ikoria that is in Historic. There are, as far as the cycling combo deck, Shadow of the Grave and Abandoned Sarcophagus are both interesting, because Shadow of the Grave returns all the cards you cycled to your hand this turn, and then Abandoned Sarcophagus lets you play cards with cycling from your graveyard for their regular side, which are both going to be really good.
So even if we aren't going for the combo version, if you like the red white card that deals damage equal to the number, you know, if we've got Sweltering Suns now and the what is it, Cast Out, both seem really good for that deck.
I think some of the better cards for that deck. I think that deck's going to start splashing black now, mainly because Vile Manifestation is really good. It gets
what's plus, that one again?
One moment.
The creature?
It's a creature. So for it each, reads one in a black. It's a 0/4. And Vile Manifestation gets +1/+0 for each card with cycling in your graveyard, and has cycling too. It's just a
cycling
really
Tarmogoyf.
Yeah, it gets huge. I remember back in Standard seeing that thing, and people get it up to 10.
Nice, nice.
And it's going to get even more with this. There's just also various good cycling cards that are here, like Censor and Hieroglyphic Illumination. Mm-hmm. Although I don't think the cycling deck's going to run those. I think that's more control.
You get a lot of good enabler cards in this set, like stuff that's just going to like really kind of be a small upgrade for a lot of decks, but it's going to make those decks more competitive.
There's just more stuff with cycling too. There's the Reanimator deck. I don't know if any of these cycling creatures are on par with Void Beckoner or Titanoroth in Ikoria to reanimate, but one of them that's good enough probably is Striped Riverwinder. Also, I had someone in Historic the other day play some card that lets you cast any spell in your graveyard, and they did the Liliana Recur all creatures in your graveyard to the fields thing on me. I think it's
the 6-mana spell?
No, the 9-mana one.
Oh, okay.
I think it's like Return of the Dark Realms or something like that. It's from...
Oh, yeah.
It's originally from M15, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did that thing, and I was just surprised. So, if that deck gets good, then all these cycling creatures will be good in there. But I just expect the cycling deck to get lots of fun tools and various even different kinds of cycling deck, like just the more tempo-y burn you out with the big spell and like play Flourishing Fox deck, or have some kind of new perspective Shadow of the Grave combo-y deck, or just there's a lot of different things that you can do.
Gonna say, Kevin, you said you only had a few cards you wanted to talk about.
I mean, I've kind of gone through them already, most for the most part. Yeah, I just had those couple that I wanted to jump in with because you hadn't mentioned them.
Okay.
So you can keep going.
So, blue-white control, there's Censor, Hieroglyphic Illumination, Supreme Will, and Chat of the Trials, as well as Approach to the Second Sun.
Yeah, I'm excited for Supreme Will as well. I didn't think it was like my most... I'm not really excited for it, but I know it's a great card.
Yeah, it is.
I was asking people online, do you think people will be playing Supreme Will over cards like Mystical Dispute? Because it kind of has the same effect, unless, you know, unless you're playing against a blue deck.
If you're just sideboarding Mystical Dispute, probably not. I think with 3-mana Teferi being out of Historic now, Mystical Dispute's lost a little bit of its need mainboard. Notably, Goblins didn't get anything from this set, so that's good.
Supreme Will's good because you get the counterspell or you get the anticipate, right?
It's impulse.
Or is it an impulse?
It's impulse.
Yeah.
Yeah, Supreme Will is just a great card. I love that back in Standard. Back in Standard, I played that Approach of the Second Sun deck from the time Approach was printed until it rotated. I loved it.
Yeah, I think people are kind of underrating or under-evaluating Approach. I think this will end up being a really good card in Historic going forward.
Yeah, even just rampy decks and control, I think it's not bad as just a one of.
I mean, people were playing Azkanta now, and Azkanta can get it really quick. Yeah.
I think people were complaining about Opt really being the only, like, one mana cantrip in there, but now with Sensor and Hieroglyphic Illumination, like, I think they're done complaining for now.
Yeah, yeah.
Some other cards in here. Scarab God.
Yep.
I don't think Scarab God is going to go in control as much. I don't know if
it's like a blue-black mid-range, right?
Yeah, I don't know if there's much reason to do Esper. I think the Dex is going to go in. Euro is also going to be in. And it's just going to be the Sultai Euro Scarab God mid-range decks.
Okay. Yeah,
Scarab God kind of fights Euro a little bit in a way, but it's going to go in the same deck anyways, so I'm not sure. Scarab God's a very good card.
How do you feel about Scarab God, Kevin? I know you played that deck a lot back in the day.
Yeah, pretty excited, you know, depends on the context. I feel like, you know, it's popping up here and there in Pioneer, which is pretty cool.
I'm unsure with 3-mana Teferi being gone if Scarab God is better than God Eternal Oketra and War of the Spark. They both put out lots of 4/4s, so I'm unsure. They both kind of fill similar roles.
Did you guys want to talk a little bit? So I had another topic, if you don't mind me moving on, unless there's more you want to talk about, Thomas.
A few more that are kind of important.
Yeah, do it. Let's do a couple more, and then I have another question for you guys. So,
all right, let's keep it like how Ryan did. You got 2 minutes.
Ooh. Yeah.
Solemnity is kind of a big one because Solemnity plus 9 lives are going to be in the format, and I just, especially in best of one, I see 9 lives getting banned pretty quickly. Because people being subjected to having to deal with that. Some of the split cards are really good. The 3 big ones are probably Claim to Fame. Claim to Fame especially with Archfiend from M21 could stick a 5/5 out pretty quickly. Driven to Despair is also good. The blue one that bounces and then shuffles your library back is good.
Is that Farm to Market? No, Consign.
Yeah, it's not consigned to Oblivion.
It's not the double blue one? It's blue-white, you said?
It's double blue.
Yeah, it's consigned, I thought. Consigned to something else.
No, it's a monocolored one, so they're both the same name.
It starts with the same C. Commit to Memory.
Okay,
there commit, to, commit memory. To Memory. There
we go. So, also with Reanimator in mind, that Liliana Minus is a better reanimator spell than every single thing but Unburial Rites that they're currently using.
The 5-mana Liliana's Death Majesty?
Yep. Claim to Fame with Call of the Death Dwellers is just interesting. I haven't touched on zombies yet, but zombies get so much stuff that it would be hard to imagine them not seeing play. They've even gotten stuff like Jump on Polluter and things in their historic
Dreadwanderer and Lord of the Accursed are the two big
Dreadwanderer, because Mono Black's even a thing in the format, because they have Phyrexian Obliterator and Gary, and they've just been adding lots of stuff in for Mono Black Devotion.
And I think if it becomes a mid-range format, I could see people playing that deck again with that 5-mana enchantment that gives you 2 zombies and pumps zombies as well.
There's like 6 or 7 decent zombie cards being added. Yeah. In Mono White, like as mentioned earlier, the White Desert's good, but they also get Dusk to Dawn, which is going to be a way to keep stomping just other decks out, because it's 2WW and it destroys all creatures with power 3 or greater. Or maybe it's greater than 3. One of those two.
Yeah, something like that.
In Auras, they're going to get the White Cartouche and some of the other cartouches, and that's going to be really strong. Because the White Cartouche...
Especially with Yorion, right? Being able to blink stuff as well.
Not with Yorion on these. Yorion is going to mostly be using Trial of Ambition, which is a black trial, and that can be bounced, and that's an edict that's one in a black, and an opponent sacrifices a creature.
That's what I was thinking about the trials. The cartouches, so yeah, the white one I think will be show up in the Auras deck for sure.
Yep.
The white-blue Auras, yeah.
And then kind of my last thing, there's three big enchantments in Amonkhet that are like, if you search or reanimate them, they're some of the best in all of Magic to reanimate.
Oh yeah, now we're getting back to my
language. And this is Sandworm Convergence, Overwhelming Splendor, and Cruel Reality.
Is there any reanimation for enchantments that you know of?
I think there is. I don't remember it, though. I think it's from Ikoria.
Oh.
In Abzan.
The Nethery or whatever.
Oh, there's the one that puts all permanents with different names into play, maybe.
Yeah, you can do that.
The
It's like 7 mana, though.
The Abzan one, the Nefari, whatever. Nethori. It's up to equal to 10 mana cost, right?
Yep.
Or 10 power, I'm not sure if that was creatures. Or
I'm just touching on those CMC. Mostly in case there's anything added that breaks them, because they're just... They pretty much, you get it down, they win the game. They're ridiculous. I'm just trying to think real quick if there's anything else. Like, there's some curses in here, like the Black Curse is a pretty good sideboard card for go-wide decks. Because whenever a creature enters the battlefield under the cursed player's control, you gain life and they lose life.
Yeah, stuff's kind of too slow, though, I think, for historic.
Amonkhet just has a lot of really cool stuff in it. Pull from Tomorrow is there.
But we're also getting Sphinx Revelation, so...
Yeah, we can talk about those see as much if you play. Want. I guess Razaketh is in here too, and it's a good reanimator target.
Yeah.
There's just lots of stuff.
There's a lot of stuff we can talk about it forever. But let's go on to our next topic because
thing. There's lots of cats in here. Prowling Serpopard makes green spells uncounterable for a sideboard stompy spells. Card. Yep.
It's all creature cards uncounterable.
Yep.
So that'll be really good.
The cycling card I forgot to mention is Chefnut Monitor, because that cycles and you can search your library for a basic deck. Land.
Yeah.
Ramunap Excavator is Crucible of Worlds on a creature.
Yep. I'm excited for all those cards.
Yeah, Spring to Mind is like a cultivate on the front side and a draw 2 cards on the back side. Oketra's Monument would be really good in Mono White Aggro. Hollow right, One.
Yeah, sorry. Oketra's yeah. Gift.
Let's talk about the fact that there are some cards added and subtracted. And this is for me, I think, where I'm going to get most excited is the fact that we've got some things that are coming onto Arena that aren't even in Pioneer right now, as well as we've got some things that are new to Historic. Majorly, and there's some things that got taken out, so I don't know if those are things we want to talk about.
Yeah, we can.
Especially in the context of, if Pioneer ends up on there one day, why don't we go right into the cards that got pulled out, are any of these important to a Pioneer deck? Will that
I'll
matter?
Say one other card that's in there that's important are just the cycling dual color lands, and that'll be about the last thing that I'll say.
Okay, so
cards that are not there that are kind of
important. Yeah, cards that weren't included.
I think Fraying Sanity is the one I'm saddest about. I wanted to see Brutovic and all of that advisor that mills you and just Fraying Sanity and mill everyone out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Fraying Sanity, for anyone who doesn't know, that's the three mana that when you enchant a player and then at their end step they mill the top X cards, which is equal to the number of cards they put into their graveyard this turn.
I'm wondering if they didn't add this because they just added the Teferi's tutelage thing.
That and Brutovic. Brutovic already, whenever a player mills a card.
It's low power level, it's probably high complexity.
Yeah, it could be a complexity issue. I noticed that they pretty much removed all of the defeats across the board, like Jace's defeat, Chandra's defeat, and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought Chandra's defeat was in
there. Chandra was the one that made it.
I think Chandra and Liliana made it, and I know that the Nissus didn't make it, though.
The blue one would have probably seen play, because it just counters a blue spell, which is, like, almost better than Mystical Dispute, but not quite.
Yeah.
Some other ones, it looks like Tragic Lesson is gone. I don't think they want that messing with Mystic Sanctuary like it does in, or did in Pauper. Flameblade Adept is gone, which is that pair with Hollow
One. That's not really
one.
A playable card, though.
Cycling
again,
is a mechanic.
See any play.
Yeah, I want to focus more
on... None of these see play in Pioneer that we know of, do they?
No.
I want to just focus on cards that are playable at the moment.
I actually wonder
time.
In Pioneer if you did, like, Flourishing Fox, Vile Manifestation, and Flameblade Adept, if you could, like, tempo that, but
So one of the cards I'm kind of sad not to see in this in Historic is Lay Bare the Heart from Black. It was a 1-mana, 1 black, and sorcery. And your opponent reveals their hand, you can choose a non-legendary, non-land card. And they have to discard it.
I think that card's like... worse than Agonizing Remorse and Thought Eraser.
Unless you want them to discard a card and then exile it, because I play my Waste Knot deck and I want more exiling effects.
Alright, well that's very specific. So, I think that this card saw play in Standard until the Planeswalker change. Before that point, Planeswalkers were not technically legendary, and... You know, so the fact that this no longer hits Planeswalkers was a big nerf.
I don't think we have a lot of legendaries now, though, now that we got rid of Kethis combo and
stuff. You
kind of
want
to
exile
like
Euro.
Yeah, I mean, I have Ley Lines and stuff for that, if that's a problem. But, yeah. Anyways, that's the card that I'll miss the most, I think, not being able to have that in my sideboard.
I think they removed every single card in the last cycle, except for Bantu's Last Reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
The green one? Yeah, it's all removed. You can't Lay Bare the Heart Uro anyways, by the way.
Adorned Pouncer is gone, which is the fencing ace with the Eternalize, and that card's possibly decent and has some relative.
It would have been fun. It was okay
typings.
In Standard with the green white cats.
With two cat lords on three, that's probably not bad because then it's a 2/2 double strike.
Yeah.
But you would need cats to be a thing.
Yeah.
I'm seeing some people complain about Bloodwater Entity not being here because they wanted to return Sublime Epiphany to their hand even more.
I've never seen that C play.
Jeru's not here, which is a Planeswalker tutor.
Never seen him play. Yeah.
Some of the hours are gone. The black one and the blue one are both gone. Glyph Keepers.
So that really screams to me that what they're looking at is what's been playable. So they're saying, hey, you know, the blue one never saw any play.
Yeah.
That's what they left out.
Which is the other one that got missing? Black one?
The black one. Last. The black one's basically Wrasker's Contempt. Kind of.
Well, yeah, it exiles all gods. That was a big thing. We already have the other one.
Yeah, we have E2 Extinction now and Murderous
Rider.
E2
is not bad, yeah. So.
Stuff.
No, Bantu's Last Reckoning made it in there. The hour in black.
Yeah, the hour.
Yeah, Bantu's
Last
Reckoning
was
the only one of the last cycle that I think made it in there.
The creepy whispering into Ronus's ear picture,
which,
like that sloth.
Yeah, so I want to point out where this is all important is that what it's doing is that it's getting rid of cards that weren't seeing play. So when they're trying to kind of combine maybe Pioneer in the future, if they're doing a Pioneer Masters, they're going to put the cards that are yeah. seeing play, and they're not going to put yeah. on some of the cards yeah. that aren't seeing play. So unless if you're a real brewer, you know, if you're going real deep on cards that aren't popular, maybe you'll be impacted by this. But right now I'm pretty happy with this, the fate where they're saying, yeah, if you play this card in Pioneer, it will definitely be on.
There's just a couple more here. Dream Stealer, which whenever it deals damage, they discard as many cards as its power, and it had Eternalize. Saw some play, and it's not there. Plague Belcher was a kind of important zombie piece that's not there.
It's a zombie one, yep.
Consuming Fervor is a really good Oro that's not there. Torment of Scarabs is a curse at 4 mana that's not there. Channeler Initiates, the mana dork that has -1 counters on it.
Yeah. None of these are playable, though.
Harvest yeah. Season is the 2 and a green, tap as many number of yeah. creatures you control, and then you can search for that many basic lands. I think that's not in there because it would be obscene with Field of the Dead, where you just tap all those zombies, search a whole bunch of lands, get even more zombies. Other than that, I'm really only like sad and limited for like Ambuscade was the best removal in limited format, and that's not there, which I don't understand. Yeah,
it's not going to see any play, though.
And they removed all the colorless fixing in Limited, which was Traveler's Amulet and the Manalith
alternative. Yeah, we're just talking about Constructed today, though, so we don't have to really worry about yeah. Limited so much.
I mean, yeah, it's my favorite Limited format probably ever.
I do want to bring us to our last major topic, which is going to be
cards from other sets.
There's some cards that were added. So yeah, so what they really seem to do is that mostly these were things that were Amonkhet invocations, but a couple of them weren't, and they're kind of just trying to add a couple things that they think are important to the format. So you guys want to talk about these, how they impact?
There's only three.
I mean, mostly
all the Planeswalkers are bad. So Jason, Raveler of Secrets, and Chandra Pyromaster. Rest in Peace is, of course, a good sideboard card.
Yeah, that's a big
Pact of Negation doesn't have me concerned now, but at any point there's a combo deck that can just run that. I'm scared. I'm, like, really scared that they put Pact of Negation here. Because that just has consequences. I say let's save Thoughtseize to the end.
for me, when I was going through these new cards, I didn't pick any of the ones that were actually going to be in Pioneer. I just went through like the ones that I thought like might actually change the format if they were in Pioneer. For example, like Wrath of God would be a great card to have.
Wrath of God is in Pioneer. It's in Theros.
No,
it's not.
No.
They have Supreme Verdict.
We've got some. Is Wrath of God Wraths really not in Theros, despite having a Heat God art?
No, it's not. That might have been in like the Gideon thing or whatever. I have no idea, but yeah.
What set is this?
Wrath of God hasn't been printed forever.
Oh my goodness! I thought that was actually in Theros.
Nope. I think Shatterstorm would be okay as a sideboard card as well. It probably wouldn't see much play, but it'd still be kind of cool to have.
Yeah.
Lord of Extinction, I think it'd probably be a no for me, just because, you know, even though it's like super big, super huge, with all the graveyard hate, it would be a 0/0 or...
So anyone that doesn't know that silly one, that's a 4/4...
Which one?
It's a 4 mana.
3. 5 mana.
3 black.
Which one? 5 mana. Lord of Extinction is 5 mana, XX, and its power and toughness are equal.
Power and toughness equal the number of cards in all graveyards.
Yeah, so...
There's some, like, not jank things you can do with that. Like, you can Vorels it from the graveyard and put counters on something equal to its power and toughness would be, but it's not good.
We talked about this a little bit, but before we end today's show, I did want to ask you guys what you think what archetypes will be like really good. What's like your meta game prediction? Like, for example, in aggro, what are the best aggro decks?
I say let's finish getting through these real quick. Wrath of God just really good. I'm kind of sick and historic of all the decks that are just like rampant board wipes, because aggro just can't get under any of these, especially the Field of the Dead decks that don't even have to dilute their deck with win conditions. So Wrath of God is like kind of frustrating. There's already multiple four mana wraths in the format. Anger of the Gods is also like Deafening Clarion's already there. It's just another card that's like effects. Adding salt to the wound on aggro decks. But the exile effect is good against Dredge. Important. Perilous Fault's bad. Hornet Queen is like a not terrible reanimation target. Sphinx's Revelation Blue-White Control is gonna be quite good. Demonic Pact and Esper Doom is gonna get really interesting. I just think the different modes and being able to sack that out with Doom Foretold is gonna be really good. Collected Company is like...
I mean, that's almost a Pioneer deck on its own.
Yeah, it is part of the Pioneer deck. That and the Enchantment and Theros, that's the draw three cards, and then whenever you cast a spell, you lose one life. You can sack both of those out really easily. The two biggest cards, though, are definitely Collected Company and Thoughtseize. Collected Company is just going to turn a whole lot of decks on. I'm not sure... Like, I think the best things you can grab is, like, the Explore package of Jade Light Ranger, Merfolk Branchwalker, and Wildgrowth Walker as probably the base of the deck, and then do, like, Knight of Autumn and Deputy of Detention and things like that. There's not really any Reflector Mage or something.
You got Baron?
Yeah, you do have Baron. Huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's interesting stuff to do with it. Collected Company's a strong card.
You've got Uro.
You can hit Uro and Hushbringer and keep your Uro. Thoughtseize, though?
Yeah, I'm happy for Thoughtseize. I'm really excited about that.
I'm not ever happy about Thoughtseize. I personally think Thoughtseize shouldn't even be in Pioneer, and the comparison I just make is it's kind of like the black version of Counterspell, and with blue players, they always tell them no for Counterspell, and for some reason, they always give in to black mid-range players, and they're like, oh, here you go with Thoughtseize, and it's just like, I wish we had a one mana Transgress the Mind that couldn't just steal your turn one play as it feels bad, or a like one mana where you can't play it if your opponent doesn't have lands or something like that. Just something.
Yeah, or for me, it's more like it's the version of Bolt where like we don't have Bolt, and I'm glad that because it would be by far better than every other red removal spell. And this is kind of by far the best discard spell. I feel like there is a lot of distance between Duress and Thoughtseize where there's plenty of design space.
I even just think power level, but Inquisition of Kozilek, there's so much design space. Like the few that I just said, Transgress the Mind, for people who don't know, is one in a black. Target player reveals their hand, exile target card with three mana or greater.
Yeah,
but a one mana version of that.
For me, what's important here is that it's getting us closer to Pioneer. Is that they know that if Pioneer is on, if it's on Historic, they're gonna be playing Thoughtseize, so they might as well give it to you now.
Yeah.
There's no reason to give you like Inquisition and then end up having.
I'm just scared it's the best card in the format now. It's already the best card in Pioneer. Mono Black Devotion
doesn't help the price.
Mono Black Devotion and like the Sultai Euros Scarab God decks are like super scary now. This also doesn't do anything to stop Field of the Dead, which is like.
I'm happy to go against Ramp with this. You know, get rid of their Ugin on turn one, so I don't have to.
Yeah, Ugin's
been that deck later on.
Ugin was fine in his standard, but in the standard with so much ramp and stuff, he's been miserable. Yeah.
All right. So any other big impacts of what let's bring it back to Pioneer. What do you guys think does this mean for Pioneer for you?
I definitely think that Wizards is in Arena trying to add more and more sets from it. And I expect them to continue doing sets going back in time, such as a Kaladesh Remastered or Shadows Remastered. And I expect them to trek it back to Pioneer, and then maybe even keep going and try to trek it back to Modern eventually. But all this stuff is upping their word parser and allowing them to do more types of effects more easily. And eventually we're going to just probably start cranking these out. I mean, they still have to make animations and models and other stuff that take time. But just Arena is going to be able to add more effects that to their system.
For me, I mean, having all of these cards on Arena and having, you know, Historic and stuff, it's helped me to reevaluate Pioneer decks that I thought maybe were not as good before, because you see a lot of like synergies and combinations that you didn't really have a chance to see when they were in Standard or in Pioneer, because other cards were just better than it. So stuff like Ramp, I think, is going to get better. You know, Aristocrats, you know, might get better, and stuff like that. Green Red Aggro, stuff that I had totally written off in Pioneer, I'm willing to look at again because of their success in Historic. So that's how it's impacted, you know, my thinking.
Yeah, that's one of those things where, like, Pioneer Winota really came from Historic doing it, and then people on Pioneer noticed and started trying to copy it. And I think that if some cycling deck or like Nine Lives Solemnity or something happens, it's going to trickle down into Pioneer.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely, definitely. What about you, Kevin?
For me, I think the biggest, you know, just thinking about that, I'm really surprised we haven't seen more red-green aggro in Pioneer. You know, think about how good it was they got
Burning Tree Emissary.
Burning Tree Emissary banned in Historic.
So the problem,
I'm surprised we haven't seen that deck in
the problem is Historic has Ziggurat and the mana just works for it, and it doesn't work in Pioneer because we don't have Ziggurat or any allied pain lands or fast lands.
And like you said earlier, as soon as it gets good mana, Winota.
As soon as Winota gets really good mana, there's so many decks that as soon as they get good mana are going to be just so good. Spirits doesn't even have good mana yet, and it's going. The red-black midrange deck, like, Call of the Death Dweller on Goblin Chain Whirler is insane.
Yeah.
Just one-sided board wipe. Just all day, like, if a red-black midrange deck happens. But it's just, like, waiting on lands. Or, like I mentioned last episode, just green-white Stompy. Just, there's so many decks that are just waiting on lands.
Yeah.
I'd love to go turn one elf into turn two Thalia. Just knock out all those Niz-Mizzet
Thalia
decks.
Would be nice. I think the other thing that I'm really happy about is some of these are my favorite limited formats ever. Like, Hour of Devastation, the two packs of Hour, one pack of Amonkhet, is still my favorite limited format. I have so many good memories of that. Ikoria is probably second now, but getting to play Amonkhet Remastered, I know on Arena I've been saving tokens and gems for like a month or a month and a half just to spam draft Amonkhet Remastered.
Yeah, I'll be buying a lot of packs for sure. I can't wait to start building my Pioneer decks.
I'm just so excited to do crazy things in that limited format again. I'm scared of some of the stuff that they took out, like Ambuscade, and just some of the decks that I feel like they're I don't know. It might still just be fine, and I could be over-exaggerating.
Yeah, it does seem more for Constructed. Any last thoughts, Ryan? Otherwise, I want to bring us to the end of our show.
I think that's everything I wanted to talk about. You know, I'm just happy to get some of these cards and to be able to start working on my Pioneer decks, you know, for later this year.
All right, well, guys, we are the First Pioneers Podcast. Normally, we're all a Pioneer podcast. This was a lot more of a Historic episode, but, you know, it's fun, a little something different, and I think some important stuff to talk about. But if you guys want to tell us about what you thought, talk about Historic, talk about Pioneer, anything you want, you can reach me at MTG Pioneer on Twitter.
You can reach me on Discord. I'm also realizing I missed Cast Out earlier. It's just a good removal spell.
Yeah.
But you can reach me on Discord. I'm ViperFan4. I'm hanging out in this podcast Discord, but also the Pioneer Discord, the main one, or the Untap League Discord. You'll also probably see me on Twitch and lots of people's chats and stuff.
What's your name on Twitch? Because I've been on there a lot more.
My name on Twitch is the same thing. Or it's ViperFang_4. So.
All right, well, I'll shout you out if I see you in a Pioneer Twitch stream.
Yeah, if you see me in there, I'm going to probably start playing Moto and then the Pioneer Challenges soon, so...
All right, Ryan?
So, yeah, you guys can find me on Twitter at Yoshwenky, Yoschwenky. I look forward to hearing from you, and, you know, hopefully we can get back to Pioneer next week and get a get into some more relevant topics. But this was fun. Yeah, thanks for coming on, Thomas.
Yep.
All right, I'm going to wrap us up right here. Thanks a lot, guys. Thank you for coming on. We always appreciate your insights, especially for something like this where I'm a little out of my element. Next week, we'll be back to keeping you guys up to date with what is new, interesting, and powerful in the world of Pioneer. This is the First Pioneers Podcast, and we are signing off.